This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Jenny hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
I just want to do things my own way, you know.
In the beginning, we had the top down, wind in our hairpins. We buckled up and buckled down, head through the tailspins. With no security, just adventure, with a will to survive. Hugging the curves with the pedal down, and staying alive, cause history is never made. History is never made. History is never made. History is never made in a straight line.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you as we do every week from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, broadcasting worldwide through the magic of the internet to all corners of the globe in beautiful high-definition audio or something quite like it. Fans, how are you doing out there? Phil here joining you, as we do every week. Thrilled to have you here. We got a great show for you here today. Our old friend Blake Walker, you know Walker, regular on the program, coming by. He's all torn up over this Texas A&M leaving for the SEC deal. Oh my gosh, how often I let this show devolve into... I just let... A foaming at the mouth Aggie come in here like Blake Walker, our old road manager, beloved, don't get me wrong. Oh, he's all torn up over this SEC deal. He's been texting me stuff. You know, of course, a lot of you fans down there, the band and I, we've always done so well down there in College Station and Houston, Corpus, true Aggie land, all South Texas, Southeast Texas. So, you know, Walker just goes, you got to cover a little material. See what's going on here. College sports, A&M. All things happening in the news. Well, turn our attentions to music, shall we, here at the beginning part of the show. Well, we had the live recording last Saturday. Live recording, Corpus Christi, Texas. What a night it was. What a night it was. Thanks to all of y'all who came out. Had a great crowd down there. You know, one of the better crowds we've had in a couple years, probably. At the Surf Club, our thanks to Kelly Moore and Manny Morales for helping us out and bringing us in. Oh, great time was guaranteed to happen, and so it did. And who knows, man? You know, I've listened to the early stages of stuff, and we got a lot of good stuff on there. And we'll be playing some rough mixes, probably from the show, here in the next show or so. About, you know, give you guys a little sneak peek because you're on the cutting edge. Enlightened listeners of the show, we'll play a few sneak cuts for you. But man, you want to talk about a battle down there. Now, I knew it was going to be hot recording outside, you know, surf clubs outside on the patio there in the beer garden, right in the middle of downtown, right on the bay there in Corpus. I knew it was going to be hot. What are you kidding me? August, we're in the middle of a heat wave, we're in the middle of a drought. You throw the humidity in there from the sea. I go, man, it's gonna be a war up there, a war. So Luke Ayers on drums and our old beloved Blue JW Blue Marshall, we trek on down there, set up, have a great sound check, get everything wired up. God, it's gotten so much easier to do live recordings. We're gonna do more of this kind of thing. I don't know. Some of y'all are like, man, it was kind of. Phil, you just kind of mentioned it on the website. It wasn't just a huge, huge deal. But that was kind of by design. I wasn't trying to make it into some kind of huge deal. I mean, we record a lot, and I plan on doing a lot more of this stuff in the future. So look forward to that. God, the old days used to have a guy with a truck come out there, like a some old nasty van with a shag carpeting on the inside, and he would set up in the parking lot outside the club, and you'd have the split wires running out there. You'd have a box, and you'd have an 8-at machine or something. That was how Phil Comes Alive. We did it for that and Cool and Unusual Punishment. You know, had a different guy come in with his own rig and all this. But the guys at the surf club, we had a Personas Firewire out recording mixer we ran through, and that was it. It was kind of like, yeah, you know, we can just plug in and do it. So all the better for us and for you, the fans, who get everything a little bit quicker as a result. But a battle down there, setting up, oh man. And so we start playing, the crowd gets up there by the stage, it just gets hot, hot. So my only trepidation on the recordings is listening through there is, there are some, technical, stuff going on. There's a lot of heat, a lot of sweating. Everyone was soaking wet. I was wet. The guitar strap broke like 3 guitar strings that night at various spots, which is all part of the fun, leaving that stuff in there. Don't get me wrong. But tuning was a challenge. But the energy of the show kept it all churning along. We got some great stuff, and look forward to getting it out there to you. But we've already decided, and mark your calendars here, we haven't got the date set up. It'll probably be October, maybe November, but I'm hoping October, to go back down there. And we're just going to record another one. Indeed, our other live record, Cool and Unusual Punishment, the last one, we recorded 2 nights. That helps a lot just to eliminate some problems if you have. Because there's a few songs on this record that we really want to get live. We want to kind of capture the whole essence of. So we want another night just to make sure that happens. But we're going to do it in Corpus again at the Surf Club. That's the plan. So look forward to that. If you missed it or like, I couldn't make it, recording of the live record Corpus Christi Nights, whatever, I don't know, something like that. Maybe that'd be the title. Coming to you again in October, so look forward to that. But thanks for everybody for coming out. It was a wild, wild, wild night. Very enthusiastic crowd. And you made the show as you always do. Well, what else do we have out there, Phil? What do we have out there? You know, I always talk about my old friend Bob Lefsitz. I read his blog. Bob follows the music industry. He's out there in L.A. He's a lawyer. So he writes about where we've been, where we're going, technology, recording. And a lot of times he follows very closely the various label personnel changes, stuff like that. Stuff I'm not all that interested in. I'm always interested in kind of his stuff about where we're headed as an industry, as a business, as a people. So he came out the other day with new rules. Every now and then he steps back and sort of takes a shot of the big picture. So I don't know. He's got 14 things in here that I wanted to pass on to you, the P2 fan, the independent music listener or maker, someone who would come to Trinidad and record. So here's, according to Bob Lefsitz, it's kind of where we are, shaking out the new rules. Number one. It doesn't matter what kind of music you make. You build your own audience. There's an established niche for every genre, from folk to metal. Don't worry about playing to everybody. Just play to somebody. I like that. You'll find that I follow most of these guidelines very strictly myself. Number 2, you've got to be good. Whoa, look out. 2, you've got to be good. Lest it says under this one. And I'm going to read out, paraphrasing some of this. This is about practice. We're in a music era, not a marketing era. Ignore those who tweet and Facebook their goings on. Instead, focus on the music. How often we see bands, you know, as we always talk about in this show, tweeting, Facebooking, signing up, just letting me know what they're having for breakfast. Lefsitz says, look, you got to be good. To get people's attention, ultimately in the new world here, you've just got to have, you got to have something to contribute. Play for 3 or 4 hours a day. Take lessons. Play in your garage before you play in public. Number 3, learn how to use Pro Tools and Logic. Hey, very helpful. Some of you guys out there recording in your basements, your garage, your buddy's kind of studio, before you send off the stuff to Trinidad to be mixed. Oh, man, you got to know how some of this stuff works. Or, a lot of guys record here in the studio with me, the back room. They'll say, hey, I want this, you know, this girl to sing backup vocals or something. Well, she might live in Nashville, but I'll say, hey, I'll just send her the tracks and she can do it. And, you know, if she knows how to use Pro Tools or Logic or knows somebody who does, very advantageous. You end up making better records and moving stuff around. So learn how to do that. Number four, fans are your best friends. This is the essence of pay to play. True, true, true. I'd spell fans P-H, of course, but he spells it F. Yeah. Instead of bitching that the club owner won't let you play unless you bring those fans and generate so much cash that the booker will be dying to have you back. That's a good idea. Number five, fans start with friends, street team, etc. Number six, play live as much as you can without losing money. If people aren't coming, stop playing out live and retool your act. Once they're showing up, spread to new markets, trade gigs with those successful in other territories. Other bands are not your competition, but your friends. I think that's true, mostly. I don't know. Gee whiz, I'm trying to get gigs booked. Who am I competing with? Other bands. But definitely, I think, starting out, if you really don't have, if you just got a few people coming to your gigs, hey, man, pile up with some guy. All my friends' band's big in Lubbock. Man, back when I was starting out in Austin, we went open for Pat Green at Stubbs, played a few shows with him up there. We opened for Ragweed at the Wormy Dog in Stillwater, and then Ragweed came down and opened for us at Lucius Retired Surfer Bar in Austin, and Poor David's Pub in Dallas, I think. You know, some markets they hadn't played at all. So worked out good for them, I guess. So there you go. Number seven, have something to sell at gigs. People want to support you. They want souvenirs. True. I agree with that. Number eight, social networking is for fans. Twitter and Facebook are irrelevant until you get traction. They're rallying points for those who already believe. Once you've got fans, feed them information about gigs and goings-on. Once you've got a plethora of true believers, tweet and post about your inner life. No one cares until you approach stardom. That's true, man. Quit tweeting and Facebooking all the time. Practice. See number six, or whatever the one was about practicing. Number nine, and this is one that I love here. Stardom is on your own terms. No chart can define stardom. Don't compare your career with others. Don't lose your path. The first goal is giving up your day job. That's so true. Your second goal is earning enough money to buy a house. Your third goal is being able to take enough time off to be creative and rekindle your muse. Man, this is the whole shooting match for me. That was just, you know, I was working the day job in Austin. I said, man, can I get enough gigs? And that kind of thing, just to not have to, you know, work at this law firm I was working at as a paralegal. So that's the first big hoop, man. That's where everybody's trying to get to. But, man, very few will get there. But practice and stay off Facebook. That'll help. Number 10, recordings. You need to make them once you got traction. Quality is key. And quality must improve as your career grows. New fans at the advent will overlook your failings. But once you gain a name, your music must be more polished and be able to close those who barely care, who are only going to drive by. If your music isn't good enough at any point in the ascent, stop playing live and go back to practicing and writing. A lot of truth to that. 11, you want an album for the gig. Number 11. Ironically, albums are the most important when you're starting out. Maybe it's just an EP, four songs, but people want something they can bite into, can familiarize themselves with. Sure, start with one track, but then you've got nothing to sell at the gig. A great MP3 posted online for free, so it can be traded, can rocket you into the stratosphere almost immediately if it's that good. But that's a huge if. If your music is truly that great, and most isn't, make that your calling card. Maybe you don't even have to play live at first. But most people don't emerge fully formed. You've got to build more slowly, more gradually. Chances are you don't even know where you're going at first, but you've got to find your way. And be happy with where you go. Number 12. Once you've gained huge success, release a steady stream of music. Yeah, man. Yeah. Why not? Number 13, YouTube. Your fans will post clips. Imperfections work for you. Amateurishness is in your favor. Same with traded live shows. This is fan business, which you must enable. Allow photos, recording, and videotaping. Agree with that. You know, that goes back to the whole deal of just, you know, letting the fans really work the Twitter, you know, work Twitter and Facebook for you. Tell people. Bands who try to manipulate this kind of behavior themselves, I think, often look foolish. In my opinion, Let's see. Number 14, don't sell out to anyone unless you are in it for the short haul. Lefsetz goes on to explain, major labels are about feeding a fading top 40 market, and those working there when you sign will be different from those employed even a year or two down the line. Man, isn't that true? You don't want to be beholden to anyone because only you know the music, and you must forge your own path. We're entering a new era where music is not only omnipresent, it once again trumps film and TV, but the responsibility is upon you, the younger generation. You've got to build it in order for them to come. You must put music ahead of money. You must respect everyone in the food chain. You must not rip anybody off. People need things to believe in. The barrier of entry in music is minimal, providing rampant opportunities you can deliver for them. Love it, man. Anyway, there you go. For whatever it's worth, 14 points from Bob Lefsetz. It's always looking back and kind of giving us a where are we now? What's important? A snapshot of the music industry and what's important if you're starting your music career. Like making live albums in heat index 119 degrees Corpus Christi. Hey, the full band is trying to do our share. Well, take it all into consideration and take the following into consideration. Blake Walker. Walker, Texas Road Manager, is coming in here next to talk a little SEC Aggie football. Oh, gosh. Let me take a few Advil first. See you in a bit. Ships on the ocean drift wearily at so many knots. It was a journey of destiny, but not a straight shot, because history is never made. 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 Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, from Trinidad World Recording Studios. Here in the cozy confines where music is made, where your new direction awaits, call me 817-733-5256 or email me phil@philpritchett.com. Come record at the studio. Free your creative mind and music will help you do it. We love it. Well, 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 what do we have on tap for you here today? You know, every now and then this program, so devoted to music, to art, to my life, to the pursuit of business, making a living in music as we all want to do, we hit a roadblock. We hit a roadblock out there that just staggers us, just sets us back. And it usually comes in the form of our guest today, Blake Walker, former road manager of the full band, Walker, Texas Road Manager. The reason I say that is he has left the music world. He is out there in the greater world that all of us are a part of. He is putting the gun in his mouth as we speak. And he always, oh man, you know, so many great fans over the years for Phil Pritchett and the full band down there in College Station, Houston, Corpus Christi, just Aggie land. Walker, the quintessential Aggie. Oh my gosh. I always have to brace myself for whatever's getting ready to happen here. But boy, oh boy, we'd be remiss if we did not look at some of the big changes at Texas A&M here going into the college football season. Not changing this season, but later on. Mm-hmm. Your Texas Aggies seriously thinking about, talking about leaving Texas, leaving the Big 12 and joining the SEC. And it's interesting. I do not even know how you stand on the subject.
Yes.
I've got ideas. First of all, welcome. Thanks for coming in,
hey,
as always.
Love it.
Great to have you in. Where are we on this thing? Little background. About a year ago, you heard that this was going to happen.
Yep.
Then it died down, mm-hmm. and then here we are again. It's fresh. What's going on? You've been talking to your boosters. What's happening?
Oh, my Lord. This could take days. I'm going to try to shorten it up for you.
Normally, maybe a two-part series.
Normally, you and I would talk.
So we walked right in. I said, man, we're just going to solve this on the air.
I just emailed
you. No pre-production.
I was like, man, we got to talk about this. Well, let me first say this. I am the third generation Aggie. There are 17 Aggies in my family. I bleed maroon.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Okay? So that's where I stand. So you may
that's
say
right.
you may say oh, Blake gosh. Is way biased, and he is so diehard Bleed Maroon. And this is all true.
The ratings of this show are either plummeting or going through the roof. I don't know which one.
Probably going through the
Probably
roof.
Probably going through the roof.
A lot of Aggie Phil fans. I know.
They carry us down there in Aggieland.
But the truth of the matter is, Phil, when the guys that were in the band when I got in there,
right.
Stolle and Lynch and Phil, all diehard Orange Blood,
communist
T-sips.
Communist T-sips.
So I.
Burning our draft cards.
Oh, dude, these guys gave me so much hell. I'm talking every single road trip. We'd be driving 5 hour stretch to Lubbock, wherever. I would catch so much hell from these guys. And we had so many discussions.
Great discussions.
Oh,
great
my gosh.
Discussions.
Just.
So where. Okay, so. What give me the pros and cons.
Okay.
Give me the pros and cons.
I will give you the most unbiased look I can. And
okay.
Like I said, I got maroon blood.
That's impossible for you, but we take that into consideration.
Let me first say this. I don't blame the University of Texas. Let me say it again. I do not blame
them for what?
The University of Texas. I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Here we go.
We're already going to put Texas in the guillotine.
Look, the University of Texas, was always trying to do what's best for them. They did it in the Southwest Conference, and it broke up when Arkansas left. They thought TU was leaving and all these other things. And so, well, when the Big 12 was formed in 95, it was in favor and very pro TSIP. The Horns had a big stake in it. They make the most money, blah, blah, blah.
As opposed to the Aggies always working in the common good. What are you trying to say here?
I'm just saying that because of your market share, you always had the clout and you always were able to do these things.
Throw their weight around and say, hey, you know, this.
All other major conferences share revenue.
Right.
Okay. When it comes to TV stuff. Well, when the Big 12 started in 95, when they signed all the stuff, they didn't do it that way.
Right.
And they never had to. And so it was always kind of pro, the biggest market share guy, which is the Horns. Well, of course.
Well, and OU and A&M also got it.
Yes, but not as
cut.
Big a piece because we're not shown as much on TV and our markets aren't as big.
Well, that just goes to figure, doesn't it?
I hate you.
I mean, come on.
But.
A&M will give you more too.
And
not
so,
as much as Texas.
Nebraska finally said, look, we've had enough.
We've had enough.
And
right. They leave.
Last year they decided.
They're the Big Ten, right?
Yes.
Are going to be whatever it is.
Yeah, there'll be 12 teams over there, but trademark-wise, it'll be called the Big Ten, which they wanted more money. It wasn't that they wanted to equal share. Let's not be, you know, I don't want to totally say Texas is to blame, because if Nebraska could have cut that deal, they would have. If A&M would have cut this deal, if A&M could have an Aggie network, listen, they'd have cut it, okay? And we'd have tried the same stuff. That's why I'm not ultimately mad at the Lost Dodds or the University of Texas, is because they were looking out for their best interest, and I can't be upset at that. What I can be upset with is Dan Beebe and the NCAA.
Right.
Because in my opinion, Dan Beebe's job.
Now, he's the head of the NCAA.
Dan Beebe is the
head
of
the
Big
12.
I forget the guy's name who's the head of NCAA. They are screwed up like a can of worms. There's a whole nother argument. But Dan Beebe had the opportunity to sit everybody down last year before Nebraska and Colorado walked and make a deal and make everybody happy. And that's in the betterment of the Big 12. And that's what his job is supposed to be, is to keep the Big 12 together.
All right.
But Dan Beebe didn't do that. What he allowed to happen is Texas get what they want. Nebraska not get a share of what they wanted. Nebraska left. Colorado left. And so the Big 12 became unstable.
Yes.
At that point, it does not matter from here on out. In my opinion, the Big 12 is going to crumble. Whether A&M leaves, whether somebody else leaves. Once Colorado and Nebraska left, it is my opinion that Dan Beebe needed to do his damnedest to go find two great teams to fill in the Big 12 and save us.
He didn't go find anyone. Yeah. Right,
he wanted to accept it with 10 teams and let Texas have their deal, and then of course
more money to go around in 10 teams than 12 teams.
Right.
Wasn't that kind of the short term argument? Like, hey, that's just more money for everybody.
The way he cut it up was A&M and OU make, you know, 20 million and Texas makes, you know, 50, 60, whatever. Texas makes the most of their biggest market share and everybody else kind of gets screwed. You know, all the other little schools kind of, they really get the short end of the stick. Well, that problem, that was already making a lot of people unhappy in College Station. And so that's when Bill Byrne and all these other guys, they started looking at the SEC last year at that point. But this was a last minute jerk, you know, knee jerk reaction. Dan Beebe promised a lot of things, and we stayed.
What do you think's going to happen?
I think 100% A&M will walk to the SEC. I think that's a done deal.
Right.
And this is why.
When would that take effect?
It will take effect
in 2 years.
Here's how it works. If they sign, get everything lined up and do it right now. If you give a 1 year notice, there's less penalty and less money to pay on the way out.
Uh-huh.
So they have to do all the paperwork correctly, and they got to get everything done within the next couple weeks here to be ready to, beginning of next year, walk into the SEC. And
right.
A lot of the – you saw the SEC come out and say, hey, we're good with 12 teams. We pass on A&M or whatever.
Right.
That's all legal posturing. They have to say that publicly because A&M hasn't filed the right paperwork and done the right thing and said – publicly said our president is seeking and open to getting out of the Big 12 and going to the SEC. So the SEC, for legal ramifications, had to make that statement.
Right.
But really behind
the
scenes.
So is the SEC going to be, how many teams are in the SEC? 12 right now?
They're 12. What they're going
to
do is
they're going to try to grow to 16 teams.
I think what's going to happen is
they're going to try to get Florida State, some of these schools like that, maybe.
I've heard a lot of rumors are Clemson, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Missouri, A&M. I've heard all those teams mentioned.
Throwing around, okay.
So I don't know for sure.
I had heard this a year ago when all this started happening. I know some people connected to way upper ups and ups in the UT deal.
Right.
Who said...
Is it the devil?
Is it
Satan?
Yes.
My dad told me it was Satan.
And you know what, Walker? He was surrounded by his Heisman trophies and all of his Rose Bowl victories. Sitting up there, perched, with his horns on. The word from that camp was, here's what's happening. Texas, Tech, OU, and Oklahoma State are joining the Pac-10.
Right.
Done deal.
Yeah.
You're going to have a mega conference SEC out here. You're going to have a mega conference in the West.
Yes.
I was like, what? We're gonna play at Arizona, at Oregon? That stinks, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know, of course, it's all about money in the end, which is another topic I want to talk to you about. So that was kind of that's what they said, man, was going to happen. And they said A&M probably go to the SEC, and you're going to end up with four 16 or 18 team mega conferences. Of the big schools. You know, kind of the Big Ten, sort of the North guys, the South and the Southeast and an East, kind of an ACC-based mega conference out there. So maybe that's just where it's all headed. There's just going to be more revenue for everybody. But, man, it's hard to believe. I mean, would A&M still play Texas? Is that a no-brainer? Everybody wants that? Or is that not really
–
are they kind of like, well, maybe they wouldn't? I don't know.
This is where I'm ultimately torn.
Because, come on, we joke a lot, but that would be painful for Texas not to play A&M.
That would break my poor heart.
A&M exists, does it not,
to hate the
University of Texas?
You bet. If you tell me –
I mean, are you going to change your fight song? What are y'all going to do if you just don't play Texas anymore?
Yeah, if you are –
your whole identity would
– It'd be hard.
A lot of it would be tough.
You'd have to remake –
like Army not playing Navy or something.
Yes.
You know, it really would be.
I totally agree. I think that if you're truly an Aggie and someone says, hey, Al-Qaeda is playing the University of Texas, who do you root for?
We put
on the towel and we root for Al-Qaeda because that's what we do. We hate the University of Texas. Little T, little U. That's just how it is. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
That's some strong offensive language for our listeners.
It's the way it is, man.
Yeah.
And it's so hard for me because I know what's best for A&M is to go to a conference where they share revenue.
Right.
That's, in my opinion, that's what's best
for us.
Here's
my question. In the 1980s, before you were alive, UT would go play Baylor, and they'd play SMU and TCU and Rice and Houston and A&M. We would go to the away games.
Oh, yeah.
It was regional.
I grew up watching the TCU-SMU games against A&M.
Someone go, hey, man, Baylor's playing at SMU. I'd had friends who went to SMU, and so we'd go to a game. The games were around.
Yeah.
And you never once thought, maybe after the Pony Express scandal, maybe you started to say this, but at the forefront of everybody's mind as they watched college football, nobody said, well, it all just comes down to money.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just not part – I don't know. They were college kids. I don't know. Playing in some old stadium down there and Rice and stuff. It was a game. The guys were going to school. Oh, some of them had Transams or whatever the stories were. Even that, nobody cared about it. They're like, okay, well, you got to clean it up. I don't think anyone looks back at what happened to SMU as a good thing. Kind of like, man, it was just kind of crazy. It was harsh. You know, they got set up an example. Where did this obsession with money come into play? And here's someone I know very well, an older guy, recently toured the UT campus, the biggest Longhorn fan there is. And you know what? He was a little downcast after it. I was like, what do you mean? The facilities, he goes, it's just like they are Roman emperor. He goes, the weight room, the pools, he goes, These are teenage kids who play football and are going to college.
Yeah.
What? He goes, why are we spending? He goes, something's just not right about it. He goes, I can't put my finger on it. I'm a fan. I just, something is so wrong with it. I don't know. He goes, it made me feel uneasy. I did not feel, I was amazed, but there was a part of me that wasn't as prideful as I thought, looking at these weight rooms and where these guys live and eat and just these immaculate, and A&M has that, the facilities they talk about.
Yeah.
He goes, man, I just remember going to games in the 60s and 70s. It was, you know, we're just playing TCU, and he's rode the bus up, and he rode home. What happened, Walker?
It's out of control. Well, that's my other argument is I blame Dan Beebe for allowing Texas to have an unfair advantage when it comes to how much market share and money and what they demand and making it unfair for the other teams. But I also blame the NCAA for never stepping in and controlling how out of control the TV contracts are and how the money is pushing everything. The NCAA had to step in a long time ago and make a rule where, look, everybody shares and make it across the board. They're so worried about a coach buying a soda for a player or a freaking violating some stupid little bitty recruiting rule that we've totally missed the problem of college football is we don't have a playoff system and TV money controls everything.
Right.
And it's destroying the fiber of what we talk about.
The rivalries, everything is just going out the window. I mean, it's just kind of like, geez, you know, it's just, I mean,
the worst part about it is
it's, you know, but okay, Texas is going to make a lot of money. I'm a fan, but you know what? Okay, now what game am I going to go to? I can't get tickets for Texas USC in Austin, which will be cool.
Right.
But you used to be able to walk up and go to the game. I mean,
it's tough.
Now it's just, okay, they're going to be on the road playing at, you know, UCLA. Then we got at Arizona State and at Cal. I'm like, okay, I'll buy my plane ticket. I don't know. I just watch on TV, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that'd be the same thing for the Aggies.
I mean,
you guys travel well as a school, but I mean, are you gonna drive
going to Alabama
to Knoxville?
And
you know, you're just kind of like, well, you know, I guess we just won't go to any games. We'll go to the 7 home games a year if we can get tickets because we're playing, you know, freaking Georgia.
Yeah.
Boy, you guys are gonna have your hands full.
It's gonna be really tough. It'll be really tough.
But you know, who knows?
And that's the thing that really disappoints me in the end is the fact that we couldn't all come to an agreement and save the Big 12, keep Nebraska, and find a way to make the money work.
Yeah.
And that's what really sucks is, you know, Texas is bigger. They have a bigger market share.
Right.
And it'd be easy to say in this economy and in America, dude, they deserve more. They make more. They have a bigger market share. And you know what? That's fine if every major conference does it.
Right.
But for me, every conference doesn't do that. They share revenue and it works. And that's the way Dan Beebe should have had the Big 12 working. And now with Nebraska gone, look, we have to leave. We have to do what's best for us.
Right.
We can't sit back and say, look, we're just going to stay here. We're going to let Texas call the shots, do what they want. And you know what? We probably would have stayed. What really destroyed it was when it came out about the Longhorn Network that they're going to allow high school games on it, that they're going to allow conference games on it. That's when just, you know, it hit the fan. And it was like, that's it. We're done. And the NCAA never came in. 7 weeks before the season started, they still hadn't ruled if it was going to be illegal to show high school games.
Yeah.
The first thing the NCAA should have said is, look, that's not okay.
Right.
You know, ESPN has $290 million invested in the Longhorn Network.
They have
to support it. They've got to get money for it. They've got to promote the University of Texas. There's something wrong with that, in my opinion.
Well,
because it's an unfair advantage when a network is pumping your personal school's channel. That's just, man, it's out of hand. It's out of control.
Well, let's talk a little bit more of that. I want to get into some other details about the money in college football and some more thoughts from our friend Blake Walker. Thanks for coming by today, Walker.
You're welcome.
Maybe you come back next week. We'll continue this on another thread.
You bet.
Some more Aggie football, money talk, etc. Blake Walker has been here. Well, folks, getting off the music train a little bit. You hear the train passing here a second ago? Ah, only here at Trinidad can get the blast of the train occasionally passing through. All the great studios have trains in the background. Cedar Creek and Austin always had a train in the background. Well, 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 we got the vault coming up next. Who's going to be in there? Stay tuned and check it out. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from Trinidad World Recording Studios. Call me 817-733-5256
or email me, phil@philpritchett.com, to come record here at the studio or to send me your tracks to be mixed, mastered. Ah, background vocals, organ, guitar, percussion, whatever you want on it, man. If you just need me to flesh out that project you've been working on, send it on up here. Or better yet, just drive on up here with the band. Even if you don't have a band, I'll play bass. We'll get Luke or Stu or somebody to play drums. And we'll just make a whole project for you. It's what we do here at Trinidad. Well, we were talking about it in the first segment, the live recording at Corpus. You know, when I was making that first segment, I didn't even think I'd really had the nerve to do this. But no one in their right mind would do this. But, you know, I never claimed to be such. So, man, I've got a couple of tracks here, a couple of songs we did the other night in Corpus. I've kind of got a quick mix here on them. Sounding pretty good, man, just to give you an idea of what the show is like, etc. Give a listen here. Let's play a couple here. I like to, let's see. I like this one. We did our All I Wanna Do Is Get Back to Where I Came From. And we morphed into an old Who song here at the end of this. So... this is from a Saturday night in Corpus Christi. Phil Pritchett and the full band out there in the 138 degree heat, doing this tune here. A sneak peek. Hey, this is, you know, this isn't even the final mix here. So if the speakers in your car are a little buzzy, or if it's a little too loud or not loud enough, or a little too bright, hey, give me a break. It's a rough mix, man. But hey, man, I mix for a living, and sounds pretty damn good to me. See what you think. Here we are the other night. Me, Luke, and Blue at the Surf Club. Check it out.
All I want to do is get back to where I came from, back to where I started, back to where I want to be. Is get back to something familiar, to a place where I know I could be me. Tell me if this ain't the place I'll kindly leave. All I wanna do is get back to the people I care for, all y'all. Back to those I trust, to the ones I love. Is get back next to the bay, man, where I can feel the heat down there in the sand. Yeah. Listen up, man, I try to make you understand. To what I'm good at, back to what I do best, back to what I know. All I wanna do is get back into the tall grass, away from concrete, away from stone.
you to join together with the band. Join together, join together. I want you to join together with the band. Join together, join together. I want you to join together with.
I like it a lot. That is me and the full band from our live recording in Corpus Christi last Saturday night in the 108 degree heat, no wind, no humidity, soaking wet. We went back to the hotel, man. I just poured like a gallon of sweat out of my boots. You should have seen Luke Ayers, man, on drums. I don't know how he held onto his sticks the whole time. He did pretty well. Gosh, I've had, drumming is just exhausting back there, pounding those skins to those P2 songs. I'm surprised he didn't faint and fall off the stage. But, man, he stuck it out, as Blue did over there on the bass, just singing his heart out for all the folks there in Corpus Christi. Man, people really getting onto those new songs. I found that, when we did Cool and Unusual Punishment back in the early aughts, really, in my little world where we now play, Bruising Sheetrock and Tougher Than the Rest and God Save the King a lot. But, around the time we recorded that record, those weren't like the big fan favorites. You still had Maria and Skywalker, stuff like that. But so just by including, I think, Tougher and King and Sheetrock and Colorado and stuff like that, Mexican Restaurant, making the cut on that live record, it really cemented those songs as fan favorites. Those are the ones people really seem to, latch on to over the years. So I think it's important to do a live record after you've done, three or four studio albums. And that's what we're doing with this one. Over the last few years, we've just had more people, getting into the stuff from High Tide in the Heartland, stuff from The Bullfighter, stuff from Mark of the Human Hand and the like. So I'll just see people singing along with these kind of newer songs like the All I Want to Do right there. Well, if you've been to a show in a while, you've heard my little bullfight joke here about the handsome bullfighters and how if they were Americans, life would be different for them. So I kind of started, I was up there rambling along, my mind light with heat. I was dizzy, disoriented, and way lost in my in the moment there at the surf club Saturday night. You can hear it in my voice here as I talk to the crowd down there to introduce the live rockin' version of The Bullfighter Returns. Still tweaking on the mix in this version, but check it out. I think we've got something here. I think we've got something here. The Bullfighter Returns with me, Phil, blabbering on ahead of time. Maybe I'll edit out later. Or I don't know. Is that the good stuff? Do I leave it in? You tell me. Phil at PhilPritchard.com. Check it out.
Anybody can just fight bulls. You can't just go to bull. You can't just sign up for a bullfighting school, you know, and, you know, like going over here to college, you know what I'm saying? But you got to be of noble birth, handsome, rich, high cheekbones, washboard abs. Then maybe you too can be a bullfighter. But, you know, in the United States, if you're born like that, you know, you just manage a hedge fund and nobody has to mess with you anymore, you know? In Spain, they look you square in the eye and say, you think you're all right, huh? Well, get in the ring with the bull. We'll see how you do out there. But you better watch out. It was just a way of life for me. On the sand of the Colosseum was where I was meant to be. I had learned the ways of the Cape as a boy. My grandfather taught me that living close to dying was living free. She had eyes that would light up the night. She had no interest in the spectacle of the fight, no. She declared the sports a waste of time. Life been pathetically outdated, but I was not deterred. I took up the chase. You know it's not that simple, but it's good for you. Yes, I can make her see the glory of my trade. Roses thrown at me. Yes, it's good for you. It's good for you. Been away for far too long, oh. Without even my own home or some place where I belong. I once had to stay with a man, a keeper of beasts. He said, I hope you don't mind the lions. You never know the courses circumstances take. You may not like the outcome, but it's good for you. You live a life of passion, try to avoid disgrace. Almost like it's perfect, but it's good for you. It's good for you. Circumstances take. You may not like the outcome, but it's good for you. You live a life of passion, try to avoid disgrace. You never think it's perfect, but it's good for you. Oh, I could make her see the glory of my trade. Roses thrown at me, it's good for you. Yes, I could make her see the glory of my trade. Roses thrown at me, it's good for you. It's good for you.
There he goes, the bullfighter. He has returned and conquered. Phil Pritchett here on the Pizza Podcast. Thank you, fans, for joining us every week. Don't you know you can just download any Pritchett album you've ever thought of just for $4 at p2tunes.com. You can get there through the philpritchett.com website. Oh, man, we're reworking all the websites. We're going to be running an ad in Best of Texas magazine for the studio, Record with Phil Pritchett. So getting a lot more of that kind of stuff out there. So fun to look around. Keep your eyes out for P2 floating around in the Texas music sphere here in the coming months in ways you've never before imagined. Also, look for that Rodney Parker album. Man, we're finishing that up. The mixes on that are really, really coming along, and I'm really proud of them. I sent Rodney some rough mixes. I was always a little nervous, just kind of like, hey, man, here's what I'm kind of thinking. But he loved it, loved the mixes, and really excited about it. So we've got five REM songs coming to you courtesy of Rodney Parker and myself. That'll probably be out in probably early October. Digital only, be hitting iTunes, etc. We always leave you with music here on the show, but we're out of time for today. Those are some long versions of those Pritchett live tunes there. So we are just going to end it here with the silence of our thoughts. Thanks for listening this week, folks. We will see you next week on the P2 Podcast. Until then, much tougher.